Now get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes.
Pencils, books, homework, soccer practice. Oh my. It all begins soon. Back to school is just around the corner, and we have some great tips, whether your kids are in kindergarten or 12th grade. Join us on today's Because I Said So. You are listening to Because I Said So. Welcome to our show, everyone. I'm Jackie Jennings, here with Kim Hudson, Kathy Bassett, and our producer, Chris Rank. And it is back to school time. We know it's the time you're all waiting for.
Yes, with trepidation.
Really?
Well, you know, it's that love-hate time. You know, I'm looking forward to the kids being out of my house, but homework starts, and I'm not looking forward to that.
And we're going to talk about all of that today. Joining us is Mike Detmer, who is the school administrator at Wicomico Day School and also a middle school teacher, which I think is probably one of the hardest jobs in the universe.
God bless you, Mike.
Welcome.
If it was hard, I don't think I would do it. It comes easily to me. So that's why I'm there. It's very enjoyable.
We should say, though, that Mr. Detmer is a former Marine combat veteran, so perhaps that prepared him well for middle school.
I promised myself many times in some tough situations that I would find nothing else after that stressful or too challenging. So, and sometimes that's, I have to remind myself of that. But
that's probably a good mindset, actually. But we want to start today with, you know, some of us are just a couple of days out from the first day of school. Some of us are still, thankfully, a couple of weeks out from the first day of school. What do you guys want parents to know or do in these last waning days of summer?
Well, you know, you may want to throw your hands up and say, well, it's here, but there really are some pretty concrete and tangible things that you can do that will benefit as soon as possible. I talked to several of my colleagues before I came in today, and almost the first answer invariably was routine. Start with any kind of, as close as you can get to the routine as possible. Bedtime, breakfast time, that type of thing. And also, during the day, another theme that I found was starting to get a little bit of review in, like math facts, or just having some, you know, not so light reading, not comic books, but just some quiet reading time to just start getting that routine in place so it's not a total shock. Mm-hmm. When school begins.
Now you have kids, Mr. Detmer. How old are your kids?
They are going on 3 and going on 4.
Okay, so they're not school age yet.
No, but they do come with me. And I went through this the other day, and let me tell you from recent experience, it was very difficult to that very first day. And fortunately, it wasn't during the school day. It was in the lead up to school, so I had a little bit of time because I got there at 10:30. So I had margin of error.
You're slowly breaking yourself back into
but
that
see,
habit.
Even that one day, that's why it goes to show you have to start the routine as soon as possible because
you
forget every day,
long it takes to get kids ready for school in the morning.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, like you say, probably half of the beauty of it or more is getting yourself in the routine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's my problem right there because I'm a night owl. I let my kids stay up as late as they want in the summer because I like the company. Mm. I mean, really. And so.
And then do they sleep in?
It's, you know, it's on and off. I don't know. They don't seem to need a lot of sleep. So they'll get up at 8 or 9 in the morning. But this 8 o'clock school start at Wicomico Day School, thank you very much, kills me.
Hello, public school
in
starts
September.
At 7:30.
I know, but there's a bus.
Well, and the bus comes at dark 100, Jackie.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It does.
Exactly.
So, oh, my
yes, I think the routine, I think you're right. I think the routine is just as important for the parents.
So,
as
Jackie,
it is for the
I
kids.
Must ask you, because you are my hero mom, have you started putting them to bed earlier?
We have been away. We just got back last night.
So that's a no.
The night before. So we will start this week. I will say we have done math facts all summer, so we're good on that. But I'm going to get killed on the bedtime.
That was the eye rolling. You couldn't see that, radio listeners, but that was from the rest of us eye rolling.
You know, and that's really hard to get them back into that routine of practicing math facts. I think it is a great it's a great concept, and I want to do that. But I've already said to my daughter, oh, we need to be looking at multiplication tables. And she says, Mom, it's summertime.
I know. And my daughter, who loves to read, she was inspired by a teacher last year in seventh grade. She read like 55 books
Good for
from
her.
September to May. she's read maybe one book all summer. I have clearly been negligent in my duties, so I'm sure she's looking forward to going back to some routine.
Okay, so we go back to school now, and we have to get into the routines and the homework and the studying and the day-to-day. Do we set aside a homework spot? Take us through a good homework routine.
Well, the first thing that you need to recognize is that the situation will differ. You know, some students thrive in certain locations. Some may do their homework better laying down on the floor, standing up at a desk. But the things that need to be true about it is it needs to be quiet. And that's almost like a cliche now, but even more so in our really plugged in digital world where there's just, you know, they're bombarded constantly with all these electronic distractions. Quiet is even more important now, and studies have shown, because I'm always lecturing my students about, oh, you're too plugged in, and
right,
and it's true, but you know, there's this perception that, oh, well, doing more than one thing makes me a better multitasker, and studies have shown it actually destroys your ability to focus. So it, not only are you not a good multitasker, you're not a good monotasker. So it needs to be quiet, a place where they can focus, of course, well lit, and to have all the, you know, whatever school supplies they may need there, pencil and things like that.
My son likes to go up to his room to study, but all that really means is he's behind closed doors and no one can see what he's doing. So he's got his phone, he's got his TV on, he's got the radio, and he's really not focusing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say there, you know, that's, if you look at it, that's a lesson within a lesson, because going to college or, you know, entering the working world, that's not going to be any different, especially at a place like college where, you know, every dorm room is a closed door. It's a lesson within a lesson to learn how to manage those distractions. And maybe that's, if you identify it as such, then maybe that's one of the things you can work on during your homework time.
And here's my question about homework, because I've talked to other parents who say, you know, I sit down with my second grader, third grader, fourth grader, and it's just a struggle for an hour getting through this homework. My kids are usually sitting at the kitchen table. I'm usually making dinner, and there's not a lot of like homework interaction. I'm on the way other end of the scale. Should I be sitting there with them, watching them do this, or are they just, you know what I mean? Or is it different for every kid?
I say no, not unless they need your help.
Well, that's what I think, but then I listen to all of my friends who are, you know, at the kitchen
table.
But
I think that's only because their kids would therefore not be doing their homework if they weren't sitting there with them, but
maybe.
I could be wrong.
Well, and you have to know your kid and know what they need, and sometimes your role will differ as you're working with your kid. I almost said student. Sorry, I'm one track mind here.
We get it.
But, you know, sometimes you'll need to just encourage. Sometimes they'll be more distracted. You'll need to be a little bit more forceful with it. And sometimes you'll really need to help them, not just say, oh, it's time. You know, homework is a good thing, but to give them specific help to work through. So I really think your participation level varies. The important thing to remember is that, you know, think a little outside the box. Try to get into the teacher's mind a little bit. And, you know, not all homework is just busy work and you're just filling in the blank. You know, it's for a growth purpose. It's either for repetition or to get them thinking about an idea that the teacher will play off of in the future. So there, it's not just always cut and dried. I know even for younger students, there may be sort of different layers that you can help with. And homework doesn't have to be perfect. That's not the point of it. That's
really
not a perfect, polished, finished product.
Mostly it's
the effort.
Just, right, right.
And that's what, you know, don't, when they get done, you don't say, oh, you're so smart. You say, I really appreciate your effort in doing this. Of course, you know, you try to do it right and you try to have great attention to detail.
Right.
For me, that's what I would look for.
Let me ask you about summer work. Is that really just designed to punish the parents?
I'll tell you what, can we answer that question in just a minute? We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Because I Said So. Don't forget to join us on Facebook. This is Jackie. I'm here with Kathy and Kim today, and our guest, Mike Detmer. We'll be right back.
Join us on Saturday, August 25th at 4 p.m. for a special program. The Ad Hoc Touring Company presents A Defining War and Daniel Webster, a locally produced radio play recreating the events of the War of 1812. Stay tuned at 5 for From Broadside to Anthem, the music of the War of 1812. That's Saturday, August 25th, starting at 4 on WSCL 89.5 FM, Delmarva Public Radio.
Each week on Celtic Connections, we bring you the finest of traditional and contemporary Celtic music from Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales, and North America. Tunes you can tap your toes to. and songs that will transport you to misty mountains and moors. This is Brian Kelso Crow inviting you to join me for Celtic Connections.
Sunday evening at 10 on WSTL 90.7 FM, Delmarva Public Radio.
Welcome back to Because I Said So. This is Jackie Jennings here with Kathy Bassett and Kim Hudson and Chris Rank. And we are joined by guest today, Mike Detmer, who is the school administrator and middle school teacher at Wicomico Day School. And we were talking about, Kathy wanted to ask about summer work. Was that valuable? Because obviously you're having some issues with summer work here at the end of summer.
Well, I've always had issues with summer work only because my children are not the kind of overachievers that get it done, you know, on June 1st. So as the summer drags on, they have a bit of their mother's procrastination gene in them, and it's just painful to try to get them to finish their summer work. So I'm sure the teachers have great reason to do some, you know, to prescribe summer work. I just wanted to hear it.
You know, the ideal is that you're still, you know, I think a lot of summer work revolves around books a lot of times, and the idea is to coerce, whatever word you want, students to read mm-hmm. and read something of substance and value. But for me, and I've gone through evolutions this summer, in fact, it was probably torturous to my students. But one of their assignments was, because I do a lot of geography with history, is they had to memorize certain maps. Incoming seventh grade students had to memorize a modern day, all the countries in Europe.
Excellent.
So that was something that I feel like I gamed the system because it requires repetition. I put that in the note that this is something that, you know, do it early and get a lot of repetitions. And so hopefully, and that's the kind of thing that's not just to torture them. That's something, because we talk about World War I and World War II. I mean, that's going to be a huge tool for me.
Well, it makes sense. Exactly. Yeah. If you don't know where the country is in relation to something else,
right,
how would you understand the...
Right. My daughter, I was just quizzing her somehow in the car on... state capitals, which is what she learned in fifth grade, mm-hmm. and she has forgotten almost mm-hmm. all of them. It was really horrible. So
I liked that summer of before fifth grade that know the state capitals, and I like that you do this in the summer. And unfortunately, at least in my house, what the teacher asks holds a lot more weight than what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. So if the teacher has said, you know, you need to get this done over the summer, my kids are much more apt to do it on their own than if I'm saying, hey, let's get this book read or let's do these skills. But Jackie...
Oh, she's going to throw me under the bus.
I am. No, I can't stop thinking about this. You talked about this a little bit last time. And I want to hear more about these summer essays that you do with your kids.
Poor children. And their summer essays. Yeah, I just think writing is so important, and it's a skill that, as I look around, not a lot of grown-ups have, unfortunately. So I want them to know how to write. So, yes, during the summer, they have to sit down and write, you know, why I want a new kitten or whatever. But it has kind of evolved, and it's made it very interesting that I make Ben, Andy, if she wants to, write letters to people. So write a letter to your, you know, favorite sports star, write a letter to your favorite. Well, they write back. And so it's this great motivation to get the kids to sit down, compose a letter, figure out who they want to write to, what to say, and then they get a reward. So it has been a great experience.
Did Ben write to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
He did. Yes. I think just about all of them at this point.
Of course
he did.
Well, I knew there was a downside to this.
Watch it, Mr. Detmer. So that's been good for us. And, you know, it's something to do.
That's cool.
But you mentioned before about getting into the teacher's mind. And mm-hmm. I have something kind of parallel to that. You know, should we, you know, do you write a letter to your teacher? Do you walk in and introduce yourself? Like, do they really want to hear from us, or are we just a pain in the butt?
Well, teachers, I'm going to take the fifth on one of those. Teachers are people too. But teachers do, I mean, they're in that job because for me, I did several other things, but I didn't find the level of fulfillment that I was looking for in work until I started working with students. And teachers are there to help those students grow. And, time and history and studies and common sense shows that a good relationship with the parents as well is a huge part of giving your kid the education that they need.
The challenge is, you know, when they're in elementary school, you're walking them into the classroom and you're interacting with the teacher a lot more as they get older. And certainly by high school, you know, if you walk into that school, your kid's looking at you like, what are you doing here? You know, they do not want to see you. And therefore, your interaction with the teachers is much more limited. And it's challenging.
Well, you may have to be more discreet with your reaching out to teachers then to avoid their wrath for embarrassing them. But I definitely recommend getting to know your teacher. And also before, you know, a problem, because life is, you know, full of turbulence and things will inevitably come up, big and small. But, you know, getting to know them and establishing a relationship with them. One of the big tools that I found at our school, at Wicomico Day School, is I get insight into the students, you know, where they're coming from, if they've got things going on, if they're looking forward to a vacation, or if, you know, a family member is ill, or even it gives me a tool to know what they do as a family or what interests their parents. You know, to use that as an avenue to explain a concept or to introduce a concept. So, you know, teachers really, I know I do, teachers really like to have that and feel like they're supported as well. That's a very important message to give to your students, teachers, and it's also for you, for your edification.
And what if you, as a parent, what if your child is experiencing a problem, you know, with a particular teacher and something going on in the classroom? You know, what's your advice for parents? What's the best way that we can handle that?
You know, communication is key in life, and communication is key, trying to catch things as early as possible. And I think also, you know, talk about getting into a teacher's mind, but when you have an issue, yes, it's your child and it's, you know, your utmost duty on this earth to protect them, but you have to think about solving the problem, and it's not always going in there and unloading with both barrels. Mm-hmm. You know, if you catch more flies, what is it?
Catch more flies
with
honey.
With honey. I'm not saying that you have to go in and, you know, not be who you are, but you also have to be intelligent about how you're approaching the problem and not just go in there and beat them down.
Well, and on that, I have something to say to that as well. You spend, you know, Ben's teacher, Andy's teacher, spends more waking hours with my child than I do during the school year. I mean, that's just a fact. So I think parents have to take that teacher's insight and, you know, even speculation very seriously. I mean, it's not like you're just, you know, hanging out in front of the room somewhere. You are interacting with my child more than I am.
Plus, they see your child at their best and their worst, because your kids are definitely, you know, more their true selves when they're around their peers and when they're not around you. So, yeah.
And one of the teachers said something like, you know, I'll believe half. You believe half of what your child brings home, and I'll believe half of what they tell us goes on at your house.
Home.
You know,
exactly.
whatever that little funny thing is. It's so true. I mean, I think you owe it to both your child and your teacher to try to gather the facts before you jump to any conclusions. And you know, it's important.
All right. We're going to wrap this segment up. We're going to be back with Mike in just a minute. Don't forget, if you have questions for us, if you have a topic you would like us to cover, join us on Facebook at Because I Said So, or on our website at becauseisaidsoradio.com. We'll be right back.
Our human ancestors hunted and gathered. They survived and reproduced. And one day they began to ask why. I'm Krista Tippett. Join me on Being, spacious conversation about meaning, faith, and the immensity of 21st century lives. A journey of discovery from American Public Media.
Sunday morning at 7 on NPR News Talk 90.7 FM, putting Delmarva first.
Please join us each week for Says You, played in front of a live, dedicated audience. Who came from the furthest to be here?
Baltimore?
Baltimore, Maryland. Anybody?
California?
California. India?
What?
India?
Excellent. Well, it's the beginning. We've started outsourcing our audience.
Says You airs right here. Here's when.
Sunday evening at 8 on NPR News Talk 90.7 FM.
Welcome back to Because I Said So. We are talking about back to school today, and we are joined by guest Mike Detmer from Wicomico Day School. He teaches middle school, which I think is very brave, but he says it's the, you know, best thing he's done in his life, apparently, besides, you know, having his own children.
You know, the students are old enough to get it. at a sort of young adult level, but they're not too cool for school yet. So it's a really neat age. It's really cool.
And you have a unique situation because you probably have a smaller class size. And
I do.
You have a more direct impact with each student, I think.
And many of these students I've known for several years now.
Right. You've watched them grow.
Absolutely. So that gives me a great frame of reference to, mm-hmm. to help them and interact with them.
Now, is the small class size, I'm sure in most cases it's a positive, but you know, when you have these same kids interacting, and if last school year ended kind of not on a great note for a student or two, how do you start the next school year in a more positive way?
Well, it's important, and with many of these things, you know, even the homework and, you know, trying to get in the routine, as kids pick up so much on what you project. I hate to get metaphysical, but the energy that you project and being positive about it is so important. And even if maybe you don't necessarily feel that way, sometimes we just have to try to be stoic and suck it up and do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's what needs to be done. Talk about a great life lesson.
Yeah, they want their teachers to believe in them, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. They do. And remember that it is focus, emphasize that it's a fresh start. Point out with them things that will be different, focus on the differences instead of what might have been similar to a bad situation, and then proactively, as school starts, and this is a good habit, ask for two positive things from that day. Don't just say, what happened? What did you do? Say, give me two good things. Give me two funny stories or good stories, and start to hone in on those in the evening and get them thinking about that and recognizing, you know, identifying things that are good.
Mm-hmm. I like that. A good dinner time conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There. Two positive things that happened at school today. Chris, you said since you were the youngest, you always got the lowdown on the teachers before school started.
Yeah, I'm the last of four kids. So every, you know, before middle school and before high school, every year you'd get the assignments. And then my two sisters and my brother would always say, oh, you've got Mr. So-and-so or you've got Mrs. So-and-so. You're going to have a horrible year because that person's he's just a mean teacher or she's just a really hard teacher. How, as a parent, should you combat that, you know, the lowdown from the siblings?
Well, when I had the flip side happen, my half-sisters came through high school 5 years after me, and they had a different last name. And teachers go, oh, you're Mike Detmer's sister. So I created a different kind of impression on teachers. But I think it's the same answer as far as, you know, being positive and saying, look, that was their experience. And even breaking down, like, you know, like a salesperson almost answering their objections. Like, what was your brother or sister's objection? That they didn't like them because they were too hard?
Too hard,
They're going to push you? Like, oh, let's go to somebody that's not going to push you so you can be lazy the rest of your life. You know, or however you want to do it. That's how I would do it. A little edges of sarcasm to sort of illustrate that they don't know that. And that sometimes the comfort zone is not the place that you grow. And it's not the place that you should be.
I 100% agree with that. I remember a seventh grade teacher who I was terrified of because he was the meanest teacher in school. And indeed, he was a hard teacher. But I was prepared for class every day because I was afraid of him. And I learned a lot. And in the end, as I look back on my career in school, he was one of my best teachers. And I don't think just because someone else had a difficult experience with a teacher, that means you should shy away from that teacher. I think that could be a very inspiring teacher to a different student.
And I think that goes with whether or not you can request a teacher to, or whether you should. I know a lot of parents like to do that. But I think, you know what?
Those would be the helicopter parents.
Well,
right?
You don't get to pick your boss. You don't get to pick your family. You don't get to pick your neighbors. At some point, you need to get along with people you don't like. And if that happens to be your teacher, well, like, you know, as Kathy said, suck it up.
Right.
Sorry. I don't have a lot of sympathy.
Does everybody
for that.
Remember a favorite teacher? Talked about your seventh grade teacher, but do you have a favorite?
Well, and I'm not sure I would say that was my favorite teacher. I learned a lot in that class. I think probably my favorite teacher was my eighth grade science teacher, just because he was a much more warm and endearing teacher. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Teachers can make such a difference in your life.
Absolutely.
And thank you, Mr. Detmer, for, you know, dedicating yourself to this profession, because we need great teachers.
It's my pleasure, really. Thank you.
And you had some other back to school tips for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as setting up the routine and maybe trying to get a little bit of excitement going, and these are great ideas for my colleagues, maybe picking the first week of lunches out, and that'll help you in that first week of being busy. Maybe celebrating, like, oh, it's the night before school. Like, and again, positive. Let's go and get ice cream and celebrate it. Maybe, because I love...
But we have to be in bed by 8.
Not at my house, you don't.
Touche. And these are all food centric. Sorry, I'm just trying.
That's okay.
I'm
we like
going
food.
With what I know. But at the end of the week, maybe at the first week, say, oh, you know, let's celebrate our first week back, and things like that, to help them sort of get in the mode. Also, getting their backpack ready and look, this is where we're going to put it in, and getting them involved in the process. It'll get them in gear better.
Mm-hmm.
Great tips.
Yeah, routine is good. And food, you know, that whole food thing is, you know, here's our back-to-school lunches, here's our back-to-school snacks. I also, like I read somewhere, to prepare a whole bunch of meals beforehand so that they're in the freezer in the first week of school. Kathy's rolling her eyes at me again. So
it's
because that
great
first
on paper,
week is
right?
crazy because you're getting back into the routine, you're getting back to homework, you're getting back to soccer and everything else that you do, that, yeah, it gets a little, you know, nuts.
Well, and you know, think if it's too prohibitive to do lunches, you know, hey, what do you want for a special treat? You know, do you want spicy Doritos or, you know, whatever it may be? And just try to get an element of that in. It's so important, too, I think.
And who was your favorite teacher, Kim? Do you remember?
My third grade teacher.
Your third grade teacher.
Mrs. Gibson.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Why? She was, you know, I had a great year that year. She had a classroom pet. We had the responsibility of taking care of the pet. And I loved her reading to us at the end of the day, too.
Nice. Mine was Mrs. Murray, my fifth grade English teacher, who was hard. Man, she was tough. If you didn't know, have your prepositions memorized by that first week of school, you were in big, 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 big trouble. So I'm very excited that my kids come home and have their prepositions memorized. It's very exciting to me.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So you said you had a Mother of the Month story, yes, Kathy?
Yes. Well, we had been on vacation, but you know, all summer long, I know my son is going to be playing varsity football this year. So I've been begging him to find out when we need to start. When does practice start? All this stuff. And, you know, in his typical way, he never found anything out for me. So I, on my own, tried to call the school, tried to, you know, you'd think that I'd get an email because he's played football now for 2 years. But unfortunately, no email. No, I'm out there flapping in the wind. So anyway, I did find out that this first practice was Saturday morning after we come back from vacation, you know, Saturday to Saturday vacation. So we came home a day early, excuse me, and he shows up at football practice. And I drop him off and I race off and I'm so happy that I got him there at 7:30 in the morning. And he calls me about a minute later and he says, Mom, I need a physical.
Oh, no.
And now this is his third year, so you'd think that Mom would remember that he needed a physical, but I did think last year that because we waited so long to get the physical that it would work again, but apparently not. So I had to go back and pick him up and drive him over to the 24-hour med clinic or whatever, your doc's in. I'll give them a shout out. We were the second in line. There was another football student from a different high school there. We went in, waited in line. There was field hockey, some lacrosse players. I was not the only one. But it goes to this thing. I really tried to put the burden on him to get me as much information, and we yelled about it in the car with each other. I mean, I said, this is your fault. He said, this is your fault. Anyway, the bottom line was we got him the physical. He was only then about an hour late when we got him back, but it was not my finest mother moment.
That's a great
sure.
story. Thank and I you. Love that there was like five other people in line. At your Ducks Inn. Well, you are listening to Because I Said So. Thank you for joining us once again this week. Thanks to our guest, Mike Detmer from Wicomico Day School, to get us back to school. Don't forget to log on to our Facebook page and let us know what you think, or our website, becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.